News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Got a bunch to get to this morning, including a lot of things locally and statewide with Rob Hulbert from Lagniappe Mobile. We'll do that beginning at the bottom of the hour. I know you want to start out in Europe right now with what's going on there.
Yeah.
Got a lot of things going on. Also here state side with the Trump apparent victory in Pennsylvania as they against the Supreme Court's wishes were continuing to count ballots yesterday. So anyway.
There's so much going on that hinges off of Trump winning the election just a couple weeks ago. Stateside, we're wondering how many of his nominees will make it through and whether the Republicans in the Senate will go along to get along or put up a fight like it seems Collins and Murkowski at least plan to do. But internationally, maybe a more compelling story, albeit frightening, because, a lot of people were saying, okay, let's say Trump wins. What does the deep state do then? What do you, all these, people that make a bunch of money from the military industrial complex, folks who have interests beyond just the health and safety of the people in Eastern Europe, but maybe more interest in the minerals that are underneath and money that can be gained by rebuilding Ukraine after this war. So a lot of people were saying, hey, if Trump loses, watch Biden and his administration really pushed to escalate things leading into the Trump administration. So it won't be so easy for him to end these wars. And I don't know if that's exactly what's happening, but you look at Biden taking the training wheels off and moving that red line once again and allowing Ukraine to send attackums and from other countries, other long-range missiles deeper into Russian territory. And they said it would just be in the Kursk region. That appears to not be the case. We saw the first volley of six rockets, attackums shot by Ukraine was in a deeper portion of Russia as they attacked, ammo depot. Well, Putin, just as expected, announced that he escalated things right after that. He said, we are basically lowering the threshold for what requires a nuclear response from Russia. So they made it easier for themselves to fire off nukes because the U.S. allowed Ukraine to shoot these weapons so far into Russia. And then, the fighting just continued. You have North Korean troops there that are trying to help Russia regain the territory that it lost to Ukrainians.
It's a massive amount. It should be very helpful.
It should, because 50, over time, they said 50,000 is what they might be looking at right now, somewhere between.
That's what the total will be.
11 and 12,000. Yeah. So then this morning, which would be obviously quite a bit ahead of us in Russia and Ukraine, Russia launched an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile. It's the first known use in the war of such a powerful nuclear capable weapon. And, of course, the range on these ICBMs, it's intercontinental, so it can travel thousands of miles. The Air Force reported the launch after Ukraine fired U.S. and British missiles at targets inside Russia this week. Storm Shadow missiles, I believe, are the ones kind of similar to ATACMS that Britain is now allowing Ukraine to use. And Moscow warned. They said that, we're at a day 1,002, I believe, now of this war, day 1,002.
Wow.
And Moscow's threatened the whole way that it would be a major escalation if targets deep inside Russia were allowed to be hit. So now we're seeing that escalation, and the ICBM fired this morning. Russia did not immediately comment on the statement from the Air Force, but it looked to me like, it definitely wasn't nuclear armed. We'd be having a completely different discussion
right
now.
But it was kind of a flex, right? There's like, look what we could have done, or look at what we're very capable of doing.
Yeah, it was definitely a flex because there's video and it's almost like it was firing blanks and it has like multiple re-entries for the different, I guess you'd call it, warheads that are on that missile. So if you see the footage, and I'll try to find it real quick and share it on my Twitter page at Dalton Arwig if you want to see it. But it's kind of scary, especially if you imagine that it had, not even nukes, but mother of all bombs or, some of these massive bombs they have that aren't technically nuclear bombs, that still would have caused a ton of destruction. So really Russia saying, look what we can do. And then what do we do from here? Do we escalate even further? You can't pull back, right? You can't say, hey, about those ATACMS, maybe you don't send them so far into Russia because well, they just flexed on us.
So the last time we saw, all right, let's bring it back to Washington, D.C., Dalton. These moves are being made. Who's making them? The last time I saw Joe Biden, he was leaving the podium and wandering into the rainforest.
Yeah.
So who is making these calls now to escalate things after the Trump victory? Is it Biden? Is it the deep state? Why? Is this some sort of I heard an opinion of on America on this morning on Gordon Deal, where the guy was breaking it down into the possibilities, including Biden just trying to make it messier for Trump on his way in, and he said that'd be my guess. And this was kind of a liberal
journalist.
Yeah, right. Yeah. His outlet was liberal, I believe. And so for him to say, yeah, you know, as I look at it, that's kind of what I see.
It's so impossible to know who's in charge, right?
Yeah,
because you could say, and there's plenty of people who would say Obama's still in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I find that kind of difficult to believe in a way because of it seems there's so much friction between him and Biden, especially after Biden was forced to drop out of the race. But then again, maybe Biden's relationship with Obama really doesn't matter, and it's more about Obama's relationship with Jake Sullivan and Kirby and Lloyd Austin.
They could be right.
Those are probably the dudes who are making the decisions, right? Is Jake Sullivan, John Kirby, Lloyd Austin.
That would make sense. And I don't know. And look, the last person that we're really concerned about, where's she at? But that's been kind of strange. It's been 2 weeks now. Has Kamala Harris even made a public...
Has she cut a ribbon?
Has she done anything?
She was part of Veterans Day. So the week after, I guess that was her first public sighting, was going to a Veterans Day ceremony with Biden. Then she was public again not long after that. Can't recall exactly for what. She's now in Hawaii, I guess. I don't know if it's a vacation or what exactly Kamala Harris is doing in Hawaii. But that's also interesting because right now the Senate is confirming... judges, confirming a bunch of Democratic judges and trying to push those through before Trump comes into office.
Right.
There's been a lot of discussion about some of the Republican senators who have been missing those votes. J.D. Vance has missed some. He's obviously been pretty busy with his new job as VP during this transition. But you have like Ted Cruz missing votes also. So a lot of Republicans are PO'd at these members of the GOP missing the votes, because most of them are falling 49, 46, 49, 47, something like that.
Yeah.
And they could tie it. And if they did tie it, then you would have Harris in Hawaii who can't vote. So they would be able to at least hold these up. But I'm not sure that is really that big of a deal overall, having some of these senators miss votes. But yeah, I don't really know who's in charge. And we know Biden isn't. He was at G20. So you mentioned he went to Peru. That was for a different economic summit, Asia Pacific kind of summit.
And while he was down there,
then he hits the Amazon.
Yeah.
Just kind of wanders into the rainforest.
I mean, look at the video.
And then to the G20 summit, where he missed a group photo, but then he made it for the next group photo.
And in the one photo, was it at the second place that he ended up like in the corner.
In Peru, he was in the back corner.
Okay, that was the one where...
They said that was by country. So I guess because USA, I don't know. They said it was alphabetical by country, which is why China's Xi Jinping was at the front and very center. And Biden with the U.S. was at the very back right. Not a good look, regardless.
How about this? I compared to the Dodgers picture, and he was the bat boy.
I thought this was too funny. So he's climbing back on the plane yesterday, I guess at the end of this G20 summit, or maybe it was just the end of the day. And the press hasn't gotten to speak with Biden this whole trip.
Look what is going on in Ukraine right now. And there's no statement about it.
There's no
declaration of here's what we're doing, here's our plan, here's why. Nothing.
No, you're not hearing much. But Biden was hearing from a reporter screaming questions at him as he walked away. Listen, it's kind of annoying, but also very hilarious. I mean, this lady has lost it because he won't answer her questions. And she's just part of a much bigger press pool. So that's a journalist.
Well,
losing her damn mind.
I know, but that's almost, she's representing a lot of us who are like, hey,
what's going on?
Yeah.
Can you make a statement? And over the engine of the aircraft or propellers, whatever's going
and
on.
And what's funny is he's climbing up the stairs as she's shouting louder and louder, please talk to us. She even entered in a nice way. She said, happy birthday.
Yeah. She
was his birthday yesterday. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Can you please talk to us? And then he ignores, and then she gets louder. And by the time he's on that last step going into the plane, she is absolutely screaming, please talk to us.
Yeah.
But that ain't happening. So, yeah, not much commentary from them. But we did hear that the Biden administration, and this was expected, but the administration's move to forgive about $4.7 billion in U.S. loans to Ukraine. Matthew Miller, Dan and I, our favorite State Department spokesperson, made that announcement yesterday.
He's snappy.
He is very snappy. outgoing officials seeing what they can do before leaving office to bolster Ukraine in its war against Russia. Somehow now, bolstering Ukraine has become letting them off of massive loans that we have afforded them.
Yeah, that's one way of bolstering them in that you're saying, okay, I'm not sending anything over this week, but that loan you owe us.
We're good.
We're good, yeah.
The funding bill, and we talked about it back when this passed Congress in April at the time, because they said it was $9.4 billion in forgivable loans.
Right.
And I remember at the time we said,
forgivable.
Why forgivable?
Yeah,
I think
right.
we know why.
Yeah.
Half of which the president was allowed to cancel after November 15th. So here we are. He did not wait long. That bill appropriated a total of $61 billion to help Ukraine in the fight against Russia.
Yesterday's date was the 20th. So five days.
Said,
we're going to nip it right now.
Let it rip. So Miller said, we've taken the step that was outlined in the law to cancel those loans. Now, Congress could still block the move. We'll see if they do, but there are several speaking out in both chambers. I know you had Thomas Massie out of the House. He said he'd filed a bill to make sure this doesn't happen. And then you have Senator Mike Lee. He said, this money is not Joe Biden's to give away. It belongs to the American people. It's just a loan was always a lie. So that's kind of the latest from Ukraine and Russia. Meanwhile, a quick kind of heads up on the Middle East, the other portion of this possible World War III.
Yeah.
Several things going on there. So no news between Iran and Israel, but the Iran militias, you know, Hezbollah and Hamas, we had some news on that yesterday. So the U.S. voted down a U.N. Security Council resolution that was calling for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. The U.S.'s issue with this is the U.S. wants to make the ceasefire contingent on releasing the hostages. This plan from the U.N., made the hostage release contingent on a ceasefire. So the hostages would come after the ceasefire.
Uh-huh.
Israel and the U.S. wants to see it happen the other way.
Right.
That doesn't really mean much. Just means the U.S. is kind of out on its own with Israel, even among other allies of ours. And then you have negotiations going on in Lebanon, trying to get a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah there. That one actually seems closer to happening. Amos Hochstein is the U.S. envoy, and he said they've made progress. He's meeting with Netanyahu today. But there was an interesting story from Seymour Hersh, the investigative journalist that came out yesterday, and he spoke with some people on the ground in Gaza. They think the next thing that's going to happen is actually that Israel will annex the West Bank, like they've been threatening to do for a long time, and then possibly northern Gaza as well, which will grab all the headlines. Trust me, if they begin annexing the West Bank and begin to annex Gaza, the Gaza Strip, like they've promised to do.
A lot of news going to lose their heads.
That will be massive. So we'll see if that happens like Seymour Hersh reported it might.
Wow. And this is not lost on me and probably not you either. But isn't it ironic, I guess you would say in a way, or it explicitly explains why Donald Trump won the election? Because on one end here in the same moment in time, you've got Biden saying, hey, all those billions, you know, that you owe. We're good with that because of the language of the loan itself, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he's being he's not laying it down as far as the money matters are concerned. On the other hand, you've got Doge beginning to operate and explain to all of America how they're going to save billions of dollars.
Trillions is what Elon's promising. Yeah,
so
trillions.
So just these two opposites on the same day, proving that their goals are completely different, and Democratic spending still out of control.
And just 2 months to go.
Yeah,
as we watch these
it's
two
be long,
battle
long 2 months.
It will be 8:21. We're coming back. on the phone lines, 251-343-0106. We'll hit those next. Also, the text line, a lot of texts coming in. More Mobile Mornings on the way. Thank you, Kane. 825 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Look at that. Ricky on the phone. We'll come to Ricky here in a minute. 251-343-0106 along with the texts. This segment brought to you by our good friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew who've been doing the great work for over 16 years here on the Gulf Coast, making junk disappear. It's easy on your end. All you have to do is, all you need is that one pointing finger and use that to dial them up at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Set up your appointment. They'll give you a free estimate with all-inclusive pricing, so no hidden fees after it's all said and done. And then once they come out, and they'll give you a call when they're on their way, often you can get same-day appointments. Use that same finger you used to dial the phone to point at what you'd like for them to remove, and they will make that junk disappear. They'll be in and out in no time, and you can get on with your day. And 307 five-star Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And this one left by Claire a week ago. 5 stars, says the guys were very professional and did a great job. It was so easy to get a free estimate as well as book an appointment. So do that today. Stop waiting. Get rid of that junk. Call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK to set up your appointment, or you can do it just as easily online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I don't think you could have possibly been more specific with finger use in that commercial.
I wanted to make it very clear how you can get them on the line.
Line one, who's on the line?
I think this is this Ricky? Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning, Dalton and Dan.
Hey, buddy.
How y'all?
Yeah, we're good. So what's new in the world of Ricky? What you got for us?
Well, the 18-19 news, I'd like to congratulate for exposing the COVID-19 money that all the governors got before they rolled out COVID-19. I think Ivy got paid $2.5 million. That's why they allowed this rollout of these kill shots in our population to depopulate our old people because Social Security is broke. So they got to kill off one generation to pay the other generation. That's basically why they rolled it out to begin with, I'm hearing, because we're really bankrupt, okay? The government's really bankrupt, and they're hiding it because we went down in 2008. The Lord woke me up, Sean, and Dalton, in 1999. I had demons in me, and he got them out of me, and he filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, God's been giving me, it happened in 1999 and showed me what happened 9/11. And all the way through to COVID, God would show me, and I was studying the money, how all this come about. And they planned this 20 years ago. And I can prove it. And they also paid it off in the CARES Act to all the states to go along with it, because the $2.3 trillion, they all got paid that money. The hospitals got paid. The $800 billion for the PPE loan, for that, for the small businesses went to the upper middle class rich. $800 billion. And that's why they went, the governors and all were pushing the COVID to lock us down, because they were getting paid while we were losing our country and our jobs and our very life. And my son's wife took 4 shots. She's got AIDS now. My son is losing his mind because we think she's shedding on him and causing his mind to go wacky. And, the turbo cancers and all the side effects that's coming from these shots are being hid. They're lying about the warp speed when it rolled out, about that 45,000 they said dropped dead after the shots, that they're hiding these numbers. And I know I'm all over the place. I have to sit down slowly and go through it. But
Ricky, you've done a pretty good job I think you make some really valid points, and that's something that really, considering the changing of, the world changed with COVID, and all this money, you're so right, and we're paying it down with the inflation now, and we're going to be paying for it for some time. But we appreciate the call. Hate everything that's happening with your family there, Ricky, appreciate you bringing up that 18-19 story. That was, last year, talking about some of the campaign coffers getting filled from federal money as they were sending that down to the states. It's certainly a big issue. I appreciate Ricky jumping on and talking with us.
That was a good story. And if Ricky's having these kind of all this sad news within his own life, that's pretty tragic. It's 8:30 on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We will talk with Rob Hulbert and look through the pages of Lanya straight ahead. Good morning from Dan and Dalton at 8:35, FM Talk 106.5.
I just want to hit a few texts. Kind of ran out of time that last segment.
No problem.
We love getting these texts out, and then we'll talk with Rob Hulbert with Lanyap. This texter understandable. They said, guys, Ricky getting a platform to spew his nonsense is irresponsible. There's at least one person who listens to the station that's going to believe his BS. Y'all are better than that. We're not better than that. That's what
I'm below that. You're overrating, you know, maybe the station is me as an individual, low rate.
And it's not, you know, morals has nothing to do with this. This is about getting the views, the opinions of our listeners out there. And Ricky is a listener.
So. And Ricky wants to be on the radio every day.
Yeah, we actually rarely put him on.
Yeah, so. At some point, you've got to give him a little bit to
That's exactly right.
Calm him down a little bit.
Chris, good morning, guys. Do you want to know who Ricky is watching conspiracy theories with? Mel Gibson, that's exactly who. Let's see. A lot of texts about the Ricky call. Let Ricky on the phone. I wanted to get to this part here. Dan and I love you guys. Dan and all, I love you guys. I guess I would be all in this situation.
I don't know.
Dan and all, I love you guys. But both of you are too old to be throwing the term flex out there. Let's find another term. That's from Josh in Mobile. Josh, I'm 33. I am squarely in the flex generation.
Yeah.
My generation, I believe, we didn't coin the term, we began using it. So.
And as a communicator on the air every day, are there terms I simply can't use because of my age? I hear people of all age using that term in sports a lot, you know, where they're talking about in the terms of, you know, flexing and standing over somebody or showing what you can do, whatever. But I hear the term. I get it. It wasn't of my generation. But where's the line?
Are you not allowed to say that?
Yeah, what library can I walk into and take a word out of it?
Don't bring up libraries, please. Fire Dog, multiple independent reentry vehicle. Yeah, talking about the ICBM launched by Russia. And then this is the one I really want to get to. Said, I'm thinking, oh crap, I missed it. But the anti-personnel mines, that's another thing we didn't get to, that Biden said he would allow Ukraine to use in the war against Russia, and that's also a big deal. So keep it coming, 251-343-0106. But right now it's time to talk with Rob Holbert, Lanyap, newest issue on stands and online at lanyapmobile.com. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, guys. I'm glad to hear y'all deal with the same kind of thing all the time. It's, I get people, when we run a letter to the editor, I get people who always say, it's irresponsible for you to allow this person to have expressed their point of view. It's like, okay, well, yeah, that's what you say.
I think a lot of the people...
By the same token, whatever political party I don't like is trying to take my freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's always the other side that's the echo chamber, right? It's never your side.
Right.
It's always the other side that is the echo chamber. It's what we do, and it's what Lanyap does. People around here matter to us, and their opinions matter, and that's what makes our station, right? So
gotta let folks talk once in a while.
Yep, even Ricky. You've got a lot of great stuff in this latest issue of Lanyap, and I wanted to get into some of it with you here. We were kind of talking off air. It's interesting. All the big ships want to come to Mobile.
They want to come here to die. They want to come here to be torn apart. We've got the one this week. It was kind of interesting. It came out of nowhere that I had not even heard of this ship, but the SS United States.
Yes. Yeah,
which
creepy.
Was one at one time, you know, it was the ocean liner. You know, it was back in the ocean liner days, before they have water slides and
buffets.
Whatever else. They got football fields on them and hot tubs and all that stuff. This is like the old grand ocean liner type. I guess it made the trip across the Atlantic in record time. There have been three sitting presidents that traveled on it, bunches of movie stars. And a young Bill Clinton traveled on it, too.
I've seen so many people on, like, Facebook posts, probably the Lanyap posts about this, saying, yeah, my ancestors came over on the SS United States. So it brought a lot of people over, and now it just looks creepy, though, the pictures I see.
Yeah, it does. It looks like it has eczema. So, you know, it's scaly looking. It's got some troubles. They're coming here to take some of the parts out of it, anything that is toxic, any kind of stuff that's not metal, and then they're going to take it out off of Destin somewhere and sink it and make it the largest man-made reef in the world.
Apparently. World's largest, 990 feet long, and that does end up making its way here, I guess I was reading someone saying actually it'll be pretty tough towing that thing from Philly, and then around Florida and into Mobile Bay. I mean, that's going to be a perilous journey on its own. But once they get it down here, if it does make it into port, that'll be visible, right? I mean, this is a massive ship.
Yeah, I would think you'd be able to see it. It's it'll be in the same place. It's MARS. I can't think of what the whole acronym means.
Yeah, I think Modern American Recycling Services.
There you go. Those guys are going to be the ones to take it apart. They're also the ones who are part of a team that is trying to get the ex-USS Enterprise here, the first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, to also be disassembled. And that's a pretty interesting story. It's gotten more interesting. I know that, I guess, part of it is just that the Chamber of Commerce came out and said, we don't want this thing here because it looks bad for whatever reason. But that's about a $500 million job. Mm-hmm. But the other part about it is there's an entire class of aircraft carriers that need to have this done. So this is something that could go on for decades, at least more than a decade or so, and be worth billions of dollars, that type of program. And it's something that the Navy has done. They've decommissioned and dismantled about 130 different nuclear vessels already. This is something that, like the Navy rides herd over this pretty heavily. They also have already done sort of a test down there. They've had a different nuclear barge, believe it or not. I guess we never heard about it, but they took about 8,000 tons of radioactive materials out of that down there. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of a test type of thing to do, so to prepare for this. This whole thing with the Enterprise has been in the works for years and years. So, it's something I don't really, the Chamber's objections to it really don't make a lot of sense to me, but from the standpoint of what it could be, it could be a pretty big business for the community, but it's also just to see that aircraft carrier would be pretty neat too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is this big, the SSUS and the aircraft carrier at the same time. It'd be amazing. But I guess the reason that the Chamber is speaking out about this, and they've only spoken out really publicly a few times over the last couple of years, but because of the word nuclear being there in nuclear aircraft carrier, probably same reason as a nation we haven't moved more forward with nuclear energy. Just having that in the name is an issue in itself. And that's basically what the Chamber said, was that folks don't like hearing the word nuclear and that it's being decommissioned here in Mobile.
Well, I mean, all the it had 8 reactors aboard, and those, all the nuclear juice, as I like to call it, has all been taken out. All the stuff that's left, pretty much, they say, is low-level radioactive material. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that people are that. I mean, I feel like that's a kind of somewhat old-fashioned attitude about nuclear power. But we're looking at having to build. I mean, we're talking about building small nuclear power plants just mm-hmm. to fund all the AI stuff. I mean, and there's, how many? I think we have like 80 something ships and subs in out there right now that are nuclear powered. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of sailors serving aboard those things. I mean, I don't know how many people were aboard the Enterprise when it was operating, but mm-hmm. it was a lot of people, and I don't think anybody ever got irradiated. So yeah. They've done this a bunch, and it's been done. I searched for any kind of incidents regarding any of this, and haven't had it. I would be the first one to say, hey, I thought this was something where they're just going to throw a nuclear reactor into the bay, that's a bad move, which, by the way, looking at it, that's what, back in the late 50s, they did take a nuclear reactor out of a sub and just toss it in the Atlantic. Wow. So that was at one point the disposal plan.
Yeah. Thank
you. We've come a long way on that.
Hey, last on these two ships, back to the USS.
The SSUS?
SSUS.
The SSUS.
So the process of taking that to Destin and then sinking it, the USSUS was originally designed, and for years it has floated above the water. So what is
That's right.
How do you sink something that was built to stay above the water.
It's funny. It's funny you should ask that.
Well, I know. I was hoping.
I was reading the USA Today story about that.
About the USSS?
About the USA Today, about the USSS, whatever. And then they wrote that they would put holes in it to create holes. And I thought, well, that's some great writing. That's what they're doing. They're putting holes in the bottom of it.
Okay. Yeah,
they're just knocking some holes in the bottom of it, and it will and then fill with water and then sink to the bottom.
That's simple enough. And, I don't know why I didn't think of it. Well,
it'll be a lot easier then for people to go visit an underwater ocean liner than going to the bottom of wherever the Titanic is.
Yeah, just watch any kid in a pool. They'll show you exactly how they're going to sink this thing. It's pretty easy.
And to think I sat here like... Like a dummy.
I take a shotgun and shoot some holes in the bottom.
And I thought there was some impossible task. So thank you.
Easy enough.
It's just docking holes in it.
Also, Rob, before we let you go, we just got through the big election, right? 2025 presidential election. But next year, we actually have a lot of statewide races and local races that should start getting pretty competitive here pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think after the beginning of the year, you're definitely going to see that turn on a lot. I don't think everybody's ready to hear that just yet, but I believe certainly fairly early in the year, you're going to start to hear more about who's running for mayor, who's running for, governor, who's running for lieutenant governor, all those things. It's going to be a much busier time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. And I know one of those potential mayoral candidates, emphasis on potential, Connie Hudson, the county commissioner. You guys kind of wrote about that a little bit, but this week she also a little closer to her goal of having the sportsplex completed out there on Halls Mill and getting the 48 acres. A water park will end up going out there, but she's just one of the many names that have been kind of bandied about for the mayoral race.
Yeah, she's definitely one of the top contenders if she wants to run, and she says she's thinking about it. So certainly from a political standpoint, she's won a lot of elections and she's county commissioner. Everybody knows her name. So that's a good starting point for her. But the number of names that are thrown around is pretty long. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a crowded field.
Oof. So we have Batiste and Prine for sure are running. Are they?
Is Prine for sure running?
Okay. I haven't seen him officially running? Announced. No, okay. Not yet.
From what I understand, Batiste is pretty close to saying he's doing it or will do it. But I don't know. I don't think anybody's just come up and said, yes, I'm definitely doing it yet.
I've heard a lot of whispers, a lot of rumors, some names out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff everybody's talking about. I heard you're running, Dan.
That's what I heard.
That was the one I was primarily thinking about.
I heard that on the echo on the phone just now when I said it. I heard that.
That's the only way anybody's ever going
to
hear it.
So. All Dan has to say is he has Trump's ear. And he's going to build everything.
I've got Trump's here, and that bay wave's coming.
I just can't wait to when we uncover all of Dan's misdeeds.
I know. That's the part of the process I'm really looking forward to.
Well, we've been working on it. We've been working on this for a long time.
Okay.
We'll have his confirmation process.
This is like when you have an obituary ready. How do they have it ready so ready?
I think we'll let the staff of Lanyap either confirm or deny you as a mayoral candidate.
I'm going to get a call from Cardiology Associates later on today about some tests that they've run, and I'll let you know whether to kick it into high gear or not.
We're definitely going to need your health report.
Okay.
8:49. Rob, thank you so much for coming on with us today. Folks can go pick up the latest issue of Lanyap on stands, and it's cheap to get that subscription online.
It is. It's worth it. We're doing stuff every single day, so it's just $6.50 a month. Go to lanyapmobile.com. We'll get you that first month for just $1. So give it a shot.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
You got it.
All right, that's Rob.
That's Rob from Lanyap.
More Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll line up the Jeff Poor Show for you. And hopefully I can get to this. Let me know on the text line. Do you want the Jay Leno audio or do you want the Rosie O'Donnell audio?
Or can I play the phone call from Cardiology Associates live on the air?
Maybe we'll get all of
it. We can all find it. It's about 8:50 now. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
8:54 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law, the local personal injury law firm. been getting fair compensation for folks in our area for decades, and they've been doing it from their office down on Dauphin Street the whole time. At Tobias and Comer Law, they'll help guide you through your case from the time you first talk until it's over. They don't pass that responsibility on to some lawyer you've never met who may not even be from the area. No, Tobias and Comer are local. Shop where we shop. Go to church where we go to church. And have fun where we have fun. And they care about the folks around here, and that's obvious once you talk to them for even a minute. Reminder, our last podcast, I had Brian Comer on for Law 251 with Tobias and Comer Law, and we talked about why choosing a good firm matters depending on the case that you are after. Listen to that podcast. It's up on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Also, wherever all of our podcasts are available. Tobias and Comer Law, you can call for a free consultation anytime. That number is 251-432-5001, 251-432-5001, or check them out online at tobiascomerlaw.com.
A lot of comments about Ricky on the text line. I'll just say this about Ricky. You know, we debate whether to put him on or not or whatever. You promised him time on the air yesterday.
I did. Yep.
So you were just honoring that promise. And in the end, I think, okay, he said a lot of things about his family. And in the end, I think we're just trying to be respectful if he's actually dealing with that.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's not. Therefore, all we were doing was trying to be respectful at the end.
Yeah.
We weren't setting him up or putting him down or whatever.
And what he was saying, the general idea before we got into the terrible things that are apparently happening with Ricky's family, the money that was spent, the money that the federal government printed to get us out of that hole, at least that was the excuse that was used, that is a massive story and will remain a massive story regarding the direction of our nation for a very long time. Trillions of dollars printed and then put out into, well, a lot of it went to fraud and a lot of it went into the pockets of politicians. And a lot of it went to the media who were pushing a lot of those lies during COVID. Ricky is spot on about that. He's right about some things. So, you know, get over it. He's wrong about a lot of things, too. But everyone deserves their moment to say what they got to say, especially if they're part of this show. Jay Leno has been injured a time or two here recently. It's actually a miracle he survived in that garage fire where he was. Of course, Jay Leno loves
terrible
his vehicles.
Classic cars.
Yeah, he loves them. And he was working under one car, ended up getting caught on fire, had to get a bunch of skin grafts, and he still to this day thanks the burn unit that saved his life. Well, he had another major issue. I guess he was doing a show outside of Pittsburgh and ended up with the entire left side of his face completely purple. He said his whole body's bruised. He said he fell down a hill. This is Jim Moret with Inside Edition telling the story of what happened to Jay Leno.
Jay Leno says he was staying at a Hampton Inn about 30 miles outside of Pittsburgh on Saturday night when he wanted to have dinner at a local restaurant before his show. Instead of walking a mile and a half down the road, he decided to take a shortcut down the hill. Not a good idea.
I love those. I don't watch them, but I love those shows like Inside Edition.
Yeah.
Just hearing them. But here's Leno talking about his issues now.
Oh, your poor face.
Look at my eye.
Oh, my gosh.
I broke my wrist, lost the nail on the finger. And then I'm all black and blue.
Will you be able to see again?
It'll be fine. I'm not worried about it.
It'll be fine. That's Leno.
He did the show that night.
The night he fell down that hill, which looked more like a small cliff to me, he did the show that night.
That's
his
amazing
stand-up. But some people are wondering. You know, he's saying he's in a Hampton Inn. Doesn't seem like a place Leno would be. But he does these small clubs. Anyway, a lot of people are wondering if he's into the mob. And that's how he ended up.
Oh, wow.
Like that.
Okay.
I don't want to start any new conspiracy theories. That's what they're saying. I think he just ended up falling down a hill.
That's a juicy one, though. It's 8:59, and Jeff Poore's on the way straight ahead.